When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hello and welcome to Oh My Dog with me, Jack D.
And me, Sean Walsh.
This is our weekly podcast where we reveal the most intimate, ridiculous details of our relationship with our beloved dogs.
I have the delightful, spirited Mildred Barrett, who is a cockapoo.
My streetwise best friend is Dolly, the long-haired chihuahua whom we rescued. This podcast sets out to answer the all-important questions like, how do you greet your dog? Do you kiss your dog on the mouth? Does your dog sleep in your bed? And so on.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our chats with our equally dog-obsessed guests who roll over and tell all.
You are very much part of this podcast too, and we want to hear from you. You can get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com.
And find us on Instagram at omdpod. So give us a shout and follow us on social media too.
So, Sean, good to see you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. I didn't spot you in Westminster Abbey for the coronation. were you there or?
My outfit was quite extravagant. You probably wouldn't have recognised me.
Oh, that's probably why. But how was your coronation weekend?
I wouldn't say I had a coronation weekend. I intercepted it by mistake. Or it intercepted right. me. No, rather it intercepted me.
Yes.
And Mildred on a walk.
What happened?
I think you'll be able to help me here. Why was it a weekend? Why was it still happening on Sunday? That's the bit I didn't get. So I'm taking Mildred for a walk through West London, kind of Chiswick, Stamford Brook area. And all the parks have the bunting up and big screens and everyone's gone out to celebrate the coronation. But the coronation was the day before.
Well, I think it was arranged so that people could watch it all on telly and then do their party the next day. That was my take on it. And it was obviously a bank holiday weekend so that people could do that.
But what were they watching on Sunday? I get to the park and then all the deck chairs are out and there's a screen on. Well, what were they watching? Were they watching the replay?
Maybe.
Coronation plus one?
I didn't know that. Maybe it just came very late to your part of London. You don't get everything on the same day, necessarily.
I imagine you were over the moon, weren't you? I bet you were really touched you.
Any excuse to get my Union Jack waistcoat out, as you know. I'll freely admit we watched it because, you know, it's history in the making.
I want to make someone else said that. I said, you have to watch it. It's history. Right.
Yeah.
You won't be alive when it's history.
It's already history.
It's not history. You can't have history now.
Why not? It's happened. It happened this weekend, but it's an historical moment. We know that. It's not going to disappear.
Okay. No, that's all right. That's fair.
You're being very literalist about what history. At what point does history start? What, 100 years time? What's your definition? It's not history until, you know, it's 100 years ago.
Until I say
Yeah, so. Which is, that's Sean's law on history. But, you know, other people may be thinking, you know, take a slightly more nuanced take on it.
So history can be present.
Well,
you could be living in history.
Technically not present. No, history is being made.
Yes.
Therefore, what is being made is in the present and will become history. You know?
When we first discussed the podcast, this wasn't what we had in mind.
No, and we are both out of our depth now. There's some sort of philosophical thing that you dragged into it. I don't, you know, we talk about dogs.
We do talk about dogs. Yes.
Did Mildred enjoy?
Can I just give you one more thought about history? Sorry.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
This might stress you out, but I thought what history is, right, is mm-hmm. history is the news that made it, right? It's the greatest hits of the news. So you don't really need to watch the news. This stuff, this probably isn't going to make it into history. So just wait 10 years, give it 10 years, and then find out what the big bits were and go, yeah, that's
right. What do you mean it's not going to make it? This isn't going to make it into the history books. Well, in 10 years' time, if I say, you know, oh, King Charles, people would say, who?
No, I didn't mean.
Yes, you did. That's what you said.
No, I didn't. No, I is what I said. I wasn't using, sorry, it was a tangent. It wasn't about the coronation. It was about history and news in general.
Yeah, okay.
But the King, you're absolutely right. I completely agree with you. I stand corrected. You did experience history. But the news,
yes,
in general, you don't need to bother with the news. You could just wait until it's history, and then you can find out if it was worth knowing.
Whether it was important or not. That is quite good. I've recently listened to a lot less news, and I've found I don't miss anything, really. You just actually don't. Because, you know, you go through phases where you become a new. Have you been a news junkie? I have in the past, where I have to listen to the news constantly. I have a radio in every room. And I just stopped doing it. And I'm no less informed than when I was doing that. Because it takes me 10 minutes to know what's going on.
Because it percolates. Because the big stuff, it percolates. You'll find it out.
The really, as you say, the important stuff. And actually, for comedians, we know that you know, you can find some trivial thing in the news and think, oh, I'll make a reference to that because you think it's funny. But no one gets it because they've not looked at that bit of news. So if you
story
wait
of my
six
life.
Weeks... Yeah. You wait 6 weeks and the story's in the air and everyone knows it, then it becomes currency for you.
Yes. But how's Dolly?
Enough of the spin-off podcast about history. I'm sure Dan Snow will be thinking, what? No. Can't have them. I do that.
It's like two people trying to talk about history during a lock-in at about 3 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. But what does Simon Sharma know about dogs? That's what I'd like to know. Nothing. Dolly took it all in her pace. But Nelly, who you know is the French bulldog who comes to stay with us a lot, my daughter and her boyfriend's dog, Nelly, was very, very taken with the whole thing, with the coronation.
Oh.
But rather alarmed. I think I showed you a video of her watching it on the telly.
Yeah, I saw it. It's very funny.
Yeah, she got very obsessed with the procession going down the Mall with all the horses, and she got really overexcited about the fact that all these horses were coming her way. She watches telly intently and gets quite involved, very animated. And as soon as they did a close up of these horses. Kind of walking towards us, she went mad. She was like saying, oh no, they're going to come in the house. They're going to come in. They'll come in. I'm going to do something about this. We're going to have a room full of horses in a minute and they're going to leave a mess everywhere. And then I know who gets the blame for that. This is a terrible day. All these horses. So she'd be watching these horses on the telly. And then she'd get really anxious and go running around behind the TV to see how they were getting in there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was. So we had to sort of be quite careful, had to sort of turn it down so to take her mind off it. It's fascinating. I'd love to hear other people listening to the podcast if their experience of their dogs watching telly. Because, for instance, Dolly, it doesn't register with her. She couldn't care less. But Nelly, she's, you know, if she hears a dog on the telly, it's, hang on a second. I've got to check this out. There's a dog somewhere and I don't know where it is and I'm not happy about it.
Yes.
And certainly with horses, she was obviously really worried that the room was going to just fill up with horses.
Mildred is not, Mildred isn't happy about some of the things I say about her on this. She listened to the podcast. I get told off quite a lot.
She has words about it, does she? Yeah. But seriously, does she watch telly?
Do you know what? She doesn't, but like you've said there, barking.
Mm.
Her ears will stand if she hears barking on the telly. So, but okay. Really, that's it. She's got no interest. I mean, it's very cute, isn't it? The dog's watching the telly. I mean, Nelly, we saw, is a fan of Have I Got News For You, unless you're hosting.
Yeah. Yeah, which we are due to, we'll put that on, but I think actually I'm going on the show on Have I Got News soon, and I think they might be playing it on there.
Oh, so that's fantastic.
People can see that, and then we'll put it on our podcast afterwards. That was a delightful bit, wasn't it?
But Nelly did that again.
The video I sent you was another bit of her brilliant sort of timing, where I sort of filming her, and it was like, is she going to pledge her allegiance or not? And she just she's looking, and she's nah, I don't think so. And then she walks off, not bothered. I'm too upset about the horses to pledge any allegiance to anyone. Yeah,
but you're right. No, if anyone, their dog has some sort of unusual reaction to the telly, maybe has a favourite program, then yeah, please do get in touch and let us know.
And that goes into a connected area, which is when you leave your dog in the house on their own, do you leave the telly on for your dog or the radio? And if so, which channel?
That is a fabulous question. Well done.
Yeah, because
that's what I wanted from this podcast. That kind of question where I go, I'm into this. I'm subscribing.
Yeah, because I know people and who are very close. Well, it's my wife. She Jane likes to leave Radio 3 or Radio 4 on for Dolly when we leave the house. She thinks Dolly has got kind of upmarket taste.
Yeah, into current affairs.
Whereas in the past, with our Dachshunds, we'd leave something on the telly that would be like, you know, A House in the Sun or, you know, Cash in the Attic, something kind of sort of humdrum for them to have on in the background. And I don't know what the logic of it was, but Dolly has definitely got, she's slightly more upmarket.
Yes. We actually put on YouTube and YouTube dog music.
Oh, so that just goes on forever, does it?
Yes, it does. It goes on for hours. Mm. It's not kind of music made by dogs, in case you were misled by the title. Generally, it's classical music. It's Radio 3.
Yeah, okay.
Dog music. Apparently, they're into classical music, according to whoever makes this stuff. I don't know who's deciding.
Like. It's probably classical musicians, you know, trying to broaden their demographic, saying, you know what, dogs like this as well. Or they've just given up on having human listeners. Because let's face it, it's not very catchy, is it, a lot of it? I mean,
no, absolutely. It's just vowels.
Yeah. I like the stuff that gets on the adverts.
Yeah, the hits.
Yeah, the hits. But then, oh, because we do listen to Radio 3.
And in what situation do you listen to Radio 3?
This was our solution to me, because when in my news junkie days, which have only recently come to an end, but Jane would have her own radio, and this is how well we get on, you know. And I'd go into another room and listen to my news radio, but Jane was just much more serene and likes listening to classical music, so she listens to Radio 3.
Lovely.
But it's, well, yeah, but it's a bit weird, Radio 3. It's got a funny approach to, like, in the morning, almost every time you turn it on, it's a lovely, calming piano music.
Yeah.
And then they follow it with some insane Wagnerian marching music or something, a marching band.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, completely killed the vibe. It's if they're trying to please everyone. This is for people just waking up. But if you've already woken up and you're having a row, here's something for you now. Here's some Wagner. But anyway, we're meant to be talking about dogs. Anyway,
I know.
But Jane says, because Dolly is on the bed in the morning, and Jane always maintains that Dolly loves classical music. She's, you know, she likes that calming classical music. Yeah. But Dolly doesn't like the marching band stuff. She's not into that. So when that comes on, we have to switch.
Okay.
On Sundays, it's Steve Wright, love songs, you know. Dolly likes that. This is, again, this goes back to what I've said. Dolly gets what she wants, right? And it's no longer Jane saying, I'd like to listen to Steve Wright, Sunday Love Songs, right? It's Dolly wants to listen to Steve. So because it's Dolly, we have to, because otherwise I'm being mean. I'm being mean to the Chihuahua. And you can't do that.
So, yes, let us know, please, what music your dogs are into. And indeed, if you leave a channel on when you leave the house, what channel is it? What do you let your dogs watch and listen to? We'd love to know.
It would be a very interesting segment of the podcast just to get some of that coming in.
As I was saying to you, I was kind of intercepted by the coronation. I was trying to avoid it. And I'm walking through Ravenscourt Park, and then there's a big party, and it's on a Sunday, and there's a big screen, and there's lots of food trucks, and very nice. But what happened? I was kind of struggling to pull Mildred, which I don't usually struggle with. She's normally she comes along, and I kind of have the lead. I kind of hold it gently so that if she does suddenly stop, I'm not kind of jolting her.
Sure.
But I realised that I was having to pull quite a bit, and I turned round and she had decided to have a little roll about in some horse manure.
Oh, right. Okay. Lovely. I don't know. I don't understand why dogs do that. Do you know why they do it?
I didn't even know they do that. Is that a thing?
No, well, it is. It's not just Mildred. She didn't invent it. It's a thing that they do. I mean, I think the psychology is that they smell the dung of a bigger animal. Yeah. So in order to camouflage themselves, they roll themselves in the scent so that that bigger animal won't be able to detect it, because it's basically its own dung. And that, I think, is the thinking behind it. Very occasionally Dolly has done it, but you got off light with horse manure, because that's not nearly as bad as it could have been. The worst one is fox poo. That really is a very, very, that's really bad, really bad.
Seems to know a lot about the different types of stool out there, Jack.
Oh, yeah, no, you know, I've been there, done that. Yeah, I've done
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
As you know, I've said to you in the past,
yes,
since me and Grace wash Mildred together. But this time, Grace wasn't in, and this was the first time I had to go solo.
Oh, right. And how did that work out?
I thought, I'm up for this, and my flat turned into a car wash. She got out.
Talk me through it.
Got her in the bath, shower on, got the shampoo on, and then she jumped out of the bath under my legs. And it's the first time I've seen a dog walk on a ceiling before. Everywhere. The entire flat was completely drenched. Not only did I have to catch Mildred, get her back in the bath, finish the job, but then I had to dry my flat with towels, all of the towels that we had.
The whole thing. And what was there explaining to be done when Grace got back in? Did you have to sort of...
Do you know what? Grace was actually... This just shows the level of competence that I have as a human being. Grace was just quite pleasantly surprised that I gave that a go.
Oh, okay. So she saw it as progress. That
absolutely.
You hadn't just ignored the problem. Okay, well, that's good. That is good. Well done. Yeah, it's a messy business washing a dog, especially a big one. because, as you discovered, they're very hard to control, especially when they're wet.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they shake everywhere, don't they? They just get out and shake.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So you're absolutely covered. It's bad enough with a tiny dog, but even on your own, it's difficult with a chihuahua. We do it when I stand in the shower, just got a hand shower in there, and just do her with that. But she's small, so you can contain it and cover in towels.
Hang on, sorry, to be clear... Just to be clear.
I have clothes on, if that's
right,
really
okay,
what you're worried
right,
about.
Right, yeah.
I've taken my shoes and socks on. It's nothing kinky about it. It's not some niche website that people will be Googling right now. It's nothing more to it than trying to wash the dog.
Because I had an image there, and if you put some classical music over that, it'd be quite the scene.
Well, I'm sure people are getting very excited listening to this particular episode. The thing to do is, if you can ever, is to get an outside bath for her, and then you can do all of that outside. If you have to wash her regularly, you can get specially made ones, and it doesn't have to be just cold water.
Yes, or you could do what I realised you should do, and just shut the bathroom door.
That would have been a great idea, because then you do then contain it to the area of the house that is designed to be wet. And yes. Did she go straight for the bed to roll around in the duvet and get dry?
It's like you were watching.
That's another trick.
Yes, absolutely. Which bit in the home will also be the hardest bit to dry? I know, I'll go for the bed.
Yeah, I'll go for the bed.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's some folded clothes that have just been cleaned and dried. Oh, them as well. Lovely, I'll try and put them on.
Yeah, have them.
Lovely. Now, Jack, something that's happened a couple of times is Grace, my partner, obviously listens to Oh My Dog because she does what I tell her to do. No. she is a fan of the podcast.
Right.
But she has had to, on a number of occasions, correct me with things that I've told you.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm getting a bit of that as well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I might have misled you and listeners on, I would say now, several occasions.
Okay.
And now the list is building up so much that I can't remember what some of them are. So I'm just going to check now whilst I've got Grace here.
Okay, good.
Grace, I'm talking to Jack. Yeah. What's some of the things that I've been getting wrong? Was it ear? Something to do with ears?
Yeah. You went to the vets and got her ear drops for her bum when she needed antibiotics.
Right, okay, yeah. Right, I don't know if you got that, Jack. I'm a bit embarrassed to repeat this one.
I think you should repeat it. Not everyone would have heard that. It was
okay. Do you remember some time ago now when Mildred had a problem with her anal glands?
Yes, yes, I do.
And I said that what the vets had given us wasn't working.
Yes,
that's because I had picked up eardrops.
Well, you went and just bought eardrops for her and put that.
I came back with eardrops. That all I know is I went to the vets because Mildred was having a problem with her anal glands, and I came back with eardrops.
And did you apply it to her backside, to her bum?
See, you're giving me too much credit here. So, did I put the eardrops? I didn't do the eardrops, did I?
You spent £150 on ear cleaner and put it on her bum.
I spent £150 on ear cleaner and put that on a bum, apparently.
That's money well spent.
That just is something. Oh God! You just hear something about yourself, and you go, "Yeah, that sums me up."
It's not just that Grace wants you to correct the record. She wants the wider public to share what she has to go through with you.
Absolutely. You know, my dad. Just in case anyone's wondering why it is Sean the way he is, my dad once brushed his teeth with dog shampoo.
was it in a tube?
Yes.
I've never seen that. At what point did he realise that it was dog shampoo?
I can't. I've no idea. Do you know what? I'm sure it would have been my mum discovered it. It won't have been my dad noticed that something was up with the toothpaste. He would have had no idea.
Just that he didn't have nits in his teeth for a while. Has that advantage. Yeah. That's madness, isn't it? To do that.
Well, yes, it is. There you go. But I'm glad Dolly enjoyed the coronation.
She did.
Glad that you didn't get invaded by horses. I hope that she takes some comfort in the fact that maybe she scared off the horses.
Nelly, yeah, I think she will have done. Yeah.
Sorry, Nelly, not Dolly.
She did. She certainly had a sense that she was on duty to sort of protect us from, you know, warning us that, you know, we're about to have a room full of horses if we're not careful, because, you know, this is madness. It reminds me of those very early films of people watching at the cinema and they've never been before, and there's a shot of this train coming towards the camera,
the
and they're all scared and they're all kind of ducking and jumping out of the way. And that's, Nelly believes in the telly to that extent. She's that committed.
I love that.
In a way, I would. I know what you mean. It's just to actually kind of be so, well, not gullible quite, but I suppose it is. But it's there's an innocence
immersed,
to it that is rather nice. Yeah, immersed in it, definitely.
It's that childlike belief where you really believe
completely,
what you're watching.
Yeah.
Let me just double check before we listen to a voice note from one of our listeners, and let me just, oh, hello, mourners. Watch my coffee. What? No. Hello, my mourners. Mildred's come here. Grace, does Mildred have a favourite programme? Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, no, big fan of David Attenborough.
Oh, right. Okay, so quite cultivated and
very
civilised.
Very sophisticated. Yeah, obviously I get in and change it to Towie.
No. But it's what she likes to start with. Is she? What music would Mildred choose to? She's into that Blink-182. Was it you listen to
Blink-182? Did you get back? Did you speak to
Miles, my
your
son
Miles?
I asked what he thought, and he kind of gave me a yeah. No, I know who they are. It was not like does Sean like them as well? It wasn't that, I have to say. But I've watched a bit of them now on YouTube, just so I know what we're talking about.
Oh, and your review?
I was quite surprised. I thought they were I didn't dislike them, you know, at all. But it's not my thing. Oh. But it's okay.
I'm flying to Washington to see them. Come along.
Are you? Oh wow! Are
you coming? I've got a spare ticket.
I didn't know you. I'm busy then, actually. But I've got to I'm deferring my kettle.
Oh, should we get some voice notes so you can get on with that kettle?
Let's hear some of those. Yeah. So I think we've got a dog song in, haven't we?
Oh, lovely, my favourite.
From Angela, who's got a very sweet Shih Tzu cross called Ernie. There's a nice picture we've
lovely
got.
A little white dog.
Of Ernie evidently at Christmas with some Christmas presents in front of him, looking very excited. This sweet dog. Anyway, Angie likes to rock Ernie over her shoulder and sing to him. And I think Ernie even joins in a bit. So should we have a listen to it?
Listen out for this. Apparently he hums whilst she's singing the song.
Oh, that's nice.
Where's a baby? Where's a baby doggy? Oh, you're a baby doggy. Are you a baby doggy? Are you a baby doggy? Oh, he's a big baby doggy. Oh, he's a good boy. Are you a good baby doggy? Oh, good boy. You a good baby doggy.
Okay.
Are you a good boy? Are you a good boy? Oh, he's a good boy. Oh, he's a good boy.
I mean, that's clearly Ernie is in conversation with Angela about how much he's enjoying that. That's delightful, isn't it?
Yes. I do have to say, Jacob, that was delightful. Although there was one point I thought, I'm glad this isn't a video.
It was slightly worried what it was going to look like in real life, what was going on.
But no, it was very sweet and innocent.
It was. It's very nice when people send in those intimate moments that they share with their dogs. Does Mildred go along with it?
Loves it. Oh, she loves the song. Because the thing is, she gets the songs with the rubby bellies, you see. So if I go, oh, give you the rubber bellies, yeah. and then she goes on her back, and then I sing the song with the rubber bellies.
But does she sing back as well? Does she kind of get into it?
No, no, no. She's not got to the point where she's joining in and going, I've got it from here. I'm the little mourners, you're the little mourners. I'm the little mourners, but mourner, wanna mourn.
We want to hear more of that if it comes. It's I can never get enough of it. It's the mourners song. I can see that being a Christmas number one. It'll be the most unexpected.
But you don't have a song, do you?
No, no, I don't. Maybe we should think of it. Maybe we should think of one.
I think you should.
Yeah, I'll work on it. I will work on it now.
You could, well, you could record one with the guitar.
Yes, that's true. I could write with the guitar. I'm not probably ready to go to that length of disclosure quite yet. Because that I think is when you've had a sort of proper nervous breakdown that you start putting stuff like that out on social media. Hi, everyone. I'm still here and I've recorded a song. it's not really for you. It's for my dog. But here it is anyway. And then everyone will know it's curtains for me.
Oh, that was fantastic. Yes, please keep on sending.
Wasn't that great? Thank you, Angela. Send more of those in. That'd be great, everyone.
Coming up next, we've got Will Young. Will Young has been a much-loved presence in the British music scene since the early 2000s. Alongside his award-winning music career, he's written 5 books, acted in films, on TV and on stage. And now he hosts his own podcast, The Wellness Lab. But we don't want to hear about all his amazing achievements. We want to get to know him through his dogs.
Hello, Will Young. It's lovely of you to have joined us. How are you?
Well, very well, thanks. I'm just eating a very dull natural bar.
Okay, why is it you missed out on breakfast this morning, or is that breakfast?
Well, breakfast is normally a couple of silk cuts and a coffee. I'm a boy from the 90s.
Right, okay.
Lovely.
Other cigarette brands are available.
Maybe they want to give them to me for free. They do that anymore. Probably not.
With cigarettes, I don't know. I actually don't know. You know, you started off well, saying that you were on a eating a health bar. I thought, of course he has. He's just come back from the gym.
I know.
And then he goes and says, yeah, no, I usually have cigarettes for breakfast.
I know.
What's your routine with the dogs in the morning? Like, to talk us through the dog thing. Who have you got with you?
Doggies behind.
Yes. You've got 3 dogs. That's right, isn't it, Will?
There's dog
no. Oh, sweet.
That's
gorgeous.
It's quite a picturesque picture, actually, isn't it? It looks lovely.
It is.
I've got 2 American pit bulls that I rescued from a kill shelter in Los Angeles, an hour away from being put down.
Wow.
Talk us through what a kill shelter is, first of all, and can we get Sean into one?
I think Sean's just probably a very quick injection. No, a kill shelter is, they have a lot of them in Los Angeles. They tend to have a lot of pit bulls. Louis Theroux did years ago do a thing on kill shelters. They tend to give them often just a week.
Oh.
And there's a charity
out
there who rescued Domino and Iris, and they were literally an hour away from being put down.
Because I know you're quite a champion of rescue dogs, aren't you? Which is really commendable.
Yes.
When people very often think, oh, if I want a dog, I better go and buy a puppy. And if I want a puppy, I better get exactly the type of puppy I want. Whereas you, I think, have got a little bit more of a holistic approach to it and think, well, if you're going to give a life to a dog, you might as well give a life to a dog that already exists. Has that been part of your life for a bit?
It has been for a bit. I sort of fell into it, really. I mean, my family rescued Dachshunds.
Oh, sweet.
There's the Red Foundation, which is solely Dachshunds, and a place in Ireland called Dashing Hounds. I mean, my mum would say she fosters them, but I'm like, but you never give them away again. So that's just adoption.
Ah, that's the problem, yes, basically.
I came across these dogs because I was out in Los Angeles and I didn't bring my dogs with me, and I didn't think that I could bring them home, and then I fell in love with them.
I mean, pit bulls have got a reputation that people would associate with being, you know, rather aggressive and unpredictable, and talk us through what is the character like, and have you ever had any problems? Is it unfounded?
I mean, you know, I don't know their full history. The really good thing about Domino and Iris is that they absolutely love humans, and they love any humans, so children. Right. So that's never been a problem. you know, he is a big dog. He's 54 kilograms. I have had him tested to see if he was a dangerous dog, because when I first got them, they were so reactive with other dogs.
What would that entail, Will? Sorry, having a dog tested to see if they were dangerous or not?
I went to see a very good trainer, and I just wanted, because they're so good with, you know, animal movement, because so much of it is obviously in the movement because they can't talk. She had a very large male pointer, I think it was, which still had its balls, which makes them even more kind of like male. So that's like a red rag to, you know, a dangerous male dog. And she said, no, he's not dangerous. We managed to let him off the lead. You know, he just needs some training. So I've managed to get him a lot better with dogs. The thing about him is when he feels safe, he's fine. So when he's at my family home, he literally has like four dachshunds climbing all over him and he's fine. He just gets nervous. So, but anyway, pit bulls are probably the most loving breed I've ever come across. I mean, I've never liked...
Incredible.
Never experienced, and same with Staffies, a breed that is just so loving. Like, it's the only way I can put it.
But do you spend a lot of time when you're walking them explaining to people that actually they're lovely dogs?
It's like I've got Tourette's when I'm walking. I'm like, he's very friendly. He loves children. But I do get people being quite judgmental and sometimes quite nasty. I mean, like, because, and you know, maybe you guys have this, but I don't tend to dress maybe as smartly as I might dress when I'm on TV. So I might be walking around in my tracksuit with him, and I've had a guy with a spaniel who was like, control your dog, and his two spaniels were off the lead and Domino's on a lead because I never let him off the lead. And I just said, well, your dogs are, my dog's not off the lead. It was just very odd. People do get quite aggressive and judgmental.
Yeah.
So, but that's fine. You know, I just make sure that they know he's fine. And
would you not let them off the lead even for a walk in the park?
I can't let him off the lead in the park because he's... I've got a Border Terrier as well. And my Border Terrier, not when I was around, but with a dog walker a few years ago, attacked a Jack Russell. And the Jack Russell had to have stitches, and it was awful. Of course, I felt horrific. Oh. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that was Domino, people would be asking to put him down. But because she's a little Border Terrier, no one's going, so I paid for the vet fees and all that. And, you know, and bribed her. I said, you whisper a word of this to the Daily Mail, I'll sue you, bitch. Don't come after me. You know, but if it's a big dog, people react. So I'm just never going to risk it.
Have you got a decent garden at home? Is that where...
I've got a good garden, and I have a long lead. So I have a sort of system now. So when we get to the park, I've got a 10-metre long lead. But, you know, you've got to keep his prey drive up. So I make sure he's running after treats, or I've got a little sort of a thing that you train shotgun dogs with, which is sort of rabbit pelt. You can get vegan ones. So I make sure he sort of runs after that. You've just got to get that sort of, you know, drive out. But to be honest, he's a very big dog, but he's got osteoarthritis, so he can't, you know, he actually can't run forever. So he just loves being around people, and he snores very loudly.
Yeah.
You've got three dogs, Will. Is that the limit for you? Do you think you could have more than three?
Not in London. I did have four dogs originally. I had a dachshund, but she got run over by an electric car. She didn't hear the car.
Oh, the electric cars.
Oh, it was awful.
Heartbreaking, yeah. Your mother was into rescuing dachshunds, as you said. So it sounds as though that's kind of, it's in your blood, isn't it? The whole thing. You grew up with dogs.
We grew up with dogs and sort of pro-animal rights. I mean, last year I handcuffed myself to a beagle breeding facility.
I was going to come to that.
Yes, it looked like I was having a breakdown, in brackets, another breakdown. Yeah. People don't know that we still... breed dogs, and effectively they are puppy farms for testing, and then that dogs are still tested on in this country. I just think people just don't know about it, so I just wanted to
I don't think they do either. It feels like we're past that as a society, and it's quite surprising to know that kind of thing is still happening.
It's terribly frustrating, and I get really upset. I mean, I've had a couple of meetings. I had a meeting last week actually with someone called Lord Sharp and the team that really do oversee all 135 testing facilities, and that's not just dogs, but, you know, other animals. And actually, they were good. They were good. I have to sort of watch my passion, because I can get quite forthright about it.
That sounds very controlled of you, because I know that if you do become passionate about a subject, especially as emotive as that, it's pretty difficult to hold your tongue at times. But it sounds as though everyone at that meeting dealt with it in a fairly adult way.
I think so. It is really hard. And, you know, I guess that if things are going through the parliamentary process, they take a lot longer than perhaps out in the real world I would like things to happen. But
yeah,
I think it's going in the right direction.
Oh, good. Yeah.
It's pretty awful what happens to them. It really is pretty awful what happens to them. So it's just about my sort of sensible approach when I'm not handcuffing myself to things is to at least try and get the welfare better, because I think what happens is because animals are tested on. It's the same with animals. You know, if you eat meat, you think, well, I don't want to think about this being a live animal, so let's just treat them dreadfully, not even treat them like a live animal. And it's the same with the beetles. You know, people, it probably makes it harder if you're looking after them, so let's just not see them as sentient beings. And I'm just trying to say, well, can we just make sure they are getting it? You know, they deserve actually, if anything, a better life, because they're doing so much for humanity. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yes, well done. You mentioned the dog walkers. I imagine you're away from home a fair bit, Will, because you're touring and working. And who is the main dog carer when you're not at home?
Glamorous Hannah.
Oh.
Yes, Glamorous Hannah comes to walk Esme, the Border Terrier. So she's actually out at the moment. Esme.
Oh, nice.
I don't let anyone else walk Domino, and Iris is actually down at my parents'.
I see.
Okay.
She actually now lives there because it was better to split them up for training and things like that. But I checked that was okay because they came as a pair.
Now, Will, we have several people come on the podcast, and what we like to get them to do is we like to hear the voices they use when talking to their dog.
What a great segment.
Now, do you have... Yes. Do you have a voice that you use for your dogs? And do you have different voices that you use for each dog?
It will be... With Domino, it will be... I can't believe I'm about to do this.
Don't worry, you're not the first.
So it's, you have to talk like that with Domino because he's got big chops.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Because he looks a bit like droopy, so I'm like, oh. So I do that one.
Okay, love that.
And then I go to another voice because I have to tell him that he's my prince.
Oh, so Domino has two different voices. You have two voices for Domino.
Got a few voices.
Oh, I love that.
Talk quite normally, but I just tell him, normally when I'm taking a because he comes and sits in the loo next to me.
Okay. Have you chained yourself to the toilet?
Yes, I'm protesting against my own bowel. I tell him that he's a prince, and I just, but that's quite a normal voice. I just go, can I just tell you, you are my prince, you are my prince.
Ah.
Yes. And then Esme gets a slightly higher voice. She says, she's my monkey, you're my monkey, because I call her monkey. Like, why do we give our dogs names and then give them pet names as well? Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
She's Esme, but she's also called, she's my monkey.
And Will, and this is the thing, is because we talk about this a lot. I have a cockapoo called Mildred Barrett, but Mildred really goes by the name The Mourners, which isn't even a word. I really don't know where it's evolved from. It doesn't really make any sense. Do you know the origin of the monkey?
Absolutely no idea. And then sometimes she's Monkey Moo.
Yes.
Ooh, my Monkey Moo. Yeah. Hello, Monkey Moo. My parents have a dachshund called Dora Carrington Blake Young. They're all named after the Bloomsbury set. There's Peter Sackville West Young.
Very cultured sounding dachshund, that is. Dolly is my chihuahua, Will, and she also gets called Monkey because, because when we got her, the vet said...
I don't think I knew that.
We were asking about exercise, and he said, you probably won't need to exercise her very much. You'll just find that she runs around the house like a monkey.
Oh, there you go.
And she literally does. She just darts around. She tears around the house. And also Tinkerbell, we sometimes call her, because she's just like a spirit of joy that comes into the room and whizzes around and then runs out again. It's a lovely thing.
Oh, that's lovely.
And then does Domino have a voice that you ever articulate for him? Does he talk back? So what's his voice?
Yeah, no, he talks like that. Oh,
sure. I was expecting an American accent. Was there more of an accent in there?
No, I haven't given him an American accent. To be honest, I get a bit offended when people say, oh, well, he's American. And as someone that went out with an American, who was very lovely, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm not anti-American, but for some reason, I sort of bristle. And people go, oh, well, he's American. He'll have an American accent. I go, no, he won't.
Is it slightly unreasonable? He is called American, and you got him in America.
America.
But never mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, to be honest, I feel like I'm having a therapy session with you guys. I've never spoke publicly about these things.
Well, so we'll send the invoice through next week, don't worry. Yeah. Well, actually, I was going to ask you about that, because I know that you've got your own podcast about wellness, haven't you? And that's a sort of about mental health, which is an amazing thing to do. How do you feel a dog and having a dog is affects your mental health? Do you think it's a good thing? I mean, I imagine you do.
Yeah, I think for some reason, particularly rescue dogs, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I suppose, I mean, you have support dogs, don't you? People get support dogs for your mental health. I think it's the love that really helps. Uh-huh. And also, you know, just simple things like if you're feeling down, you know, it's amazing to have a companion that just sort of sits there going, feed me, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I weep into his coat. Sort of, so I think dogs are like the keeper of our secrets.
Yeah. Ah, so if Domino could talk, would he be getting a big check from the Daily Mail?
He probably would, actually.
Oh, the stuff I've seen you don't want to know about. Yes, we do.
Domino, my story.
Yes.
Coming out soon.
Oh, that would be good. So talk us through, what's a perfect day that involving the dogs, Will? What do you like to do most of all? Do you take them out? Are you going to sit at a cafe with them?
The thing is, he's such a good... He's actually brilliant. He would sit outside a cafe just fine.
But yeah.
It's because he's so reactive with other dogs.
Mm.
You know, this is the thing with rescue dogs. You know, you don't know what you're getting. So, you know, I can't really do that. Or if I do, I have to be on sort of alert and have his lead sort of wrapped around my thigh. So my perfect day is if I can get him out, which I will do in a bit, and I'll take the long lead. I walk him on a short lead up to the park, and then we do a lot of games. So I carry kind of like sausages. I've got this awful kind of fanny pack, I think the Americans call them, that I sort of, you know, strap around my gut. And, you know, I've got sort of sausages in there, and then he runs after it. I mean, it's just what I just look like, such a pillar. I'll just get him running around after that.
Oh.
Some other games.
When you have to, if you ever have to leave the dogs behind, Will, in the house, if you pop out, is there a channel that you perhaps leave on the TV or indeed put some music on for the dogs? Do you have a preferred choice?
Sometimes I have done that. So normally it probably would be talk. So it's probably Radio 4 because I just think, well, talking. But I don't think about that too much. I did try with a ball. There's like a ball. Have I got it here? Hang on a sec. Because you've got to hear it.
Mm. Okay,
it makes a noise. Oh, here we go. Did you hear that?
I did, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's got a kind of voice inside it, has it?
I didn't realise this when I got it. And you put little treats in it. And I thought, that should be perfect. So I'll just play with it. This was my dream, you know.
Yes.
And it'll keep them stimulated. No. Ah, see, Domino's walking away. He's scared of it. He's now gone upstairs. I've just seen his bottom disappear up the stairs. So I bought him a game to stimulate him and bring him joy. And all I did was bring him trauma.
And now the only one person who plays with it is you.
In public, with you now.
Of course, you've got a great advantage in that you could also sing to the dogs, can't you? You've got that gift that you can. Is that a thing that ever happens? Are they? I imagine they hear you rehearse and stuff.
They love it. Yes. No. And thank you for calling it a gift. It is a gift. It is a gift from God. No, I don't. They do. He does come into rehearsals. He comes into rehearsals with me.
Right.
Sometimes we get listeners, Will, that send in little songs, a bit like we were saying with the kind of alias, you know, nicknames that we end up involuntarily giving our dogs, that people end up having these songs that come out of nowhere. So, for example, a song that I sometimes sing to Mildred that makes really no sense is I go, "You're the little mourners, you're the little mourners, you're the little mourner, my mourner, mourner, mourner." What do you think of that? Can we duet possibly?
I think that was absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
It was. Very much.
Yeah, I do sing to Esme, not Domino. I do sing, "You're my monkey moo, you're my monkey moo, you're my monkey moo." Yeah, I do
there
that.
There you go.
That's the same tune.
Sometimes it is a bit, isn't it? And yeah. Sometimes I sing, "I love you, monkey," but to the tune, "I love you, baby." I love you, monkey. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yes. Yeah.
This is great. I feel a new album coming on. This is fantastic.
Yes, it could be the making of it.
Then, you see, once they get to enjoy that, and if there's any separation anxiety, you can just leave them with your music, one of your albums playing in the background. And they'll feel, you know, that you're still there in some way.
I did have quite a sort of passive-aggressive neighbour who, when I was doing a lot of radio, so I was leaving every evening, because that was the time slot, and they were clearly barking. This was when I had the dachshund and the Border Terrier.
And I had
one of those brilliant, slightly passive-aggressive neighbours who would be like, see, the dogs bark quite a lot when you're out. You know, they don't just want to come out and say, "I hate your dogs."
No,
and no. Stop them barking. Do you ever play your music? Does that sort of stop them barking? And I said, "No, they hate my music."
I think you should pick up on that suggestion and bring in a professional rig and play your music at full blast. Did you hear the dogs barking? No, we didn't. It just sounded like Glastonbury.
Yeah, just an evergreen on
the thing is, Will, one of our previous guests is to blame for the reason why you can't take your dogs into the radio station with you. And that's Sarah Cox, because she used to bring her dog in and her dog bit through the cables very naughtily. And after that, there was an edict went out saying no one can bring their dogs in anymore. So it's Sarah Cox is to blame. Yeah.
Yeah, has she got Bichon Friesians?
Sarah has got Dolly, the Maltese, and Daisy, a flat coat retriever, as I think I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks a lot, Sarah Cox.
Yeah.
Destroyed my life.
She's a rescuer as well. Yeah.
Is she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of people tend to do the combo. I've noticed that since starting this, is that a lot of people, if they have more than one dog, one will be a rescue.
I think that's probably true, actually. And also the different sizes. Because I always think it's interesting, people go, they're like, "Oh, why have you got..." Because I've got the big dog, and then I've got the Border. And people go, "Oh." They sort of get quite sizist about it.
Yes, it's strange, isn't it? It's strange.
Well, that's a funny combination, they always say. Combination.
Yeah.
How are you at home with the dogs, Will? So we've spoken to people. Some people don't let the dogs upstairs. Some people don't let the dogs on the furniture. Oh. Where are you with dogs and the freedom around the house?
Yeah, they're allowed everywhere. But, I mean, I'm not... That's a bad owner of me, because he shouldn't really be sleeping on my bed. He sleeps on my bed with me, Domino and Esme. But the best thing about him is when it gets hot, I run a cold bath. And when he wants to cool down, he just goes upstairs, casually gets into the bath and sits there for a bit.
Really? That's amazing.
Fantastic.
It's so adorable.
That is really sweet.
Yeah. So he has full range.
I mean, I know a lot of dogs, they love the water, and they'll go in the sea, or they'll go into a pond or something. But I've never heard of a dog voluntarily getting into a bath at home. That's incredible.
Yeah, he just plops in, sits there for a bit. And then gets out again, like, towel me down.
Reads a book, couple of candles. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah, they go everywhere. But, I mean, that's because I'm needy and I like them next to me.
Yes.
You know, so it's an awful owner, awful owner.
I think we are, yeah.
Oh, we're very much the same.
Well, particularly with a chihuahua, you want the little chihuahua.
Oh, she goes everywhere. You can't, you know, there's no point saying no. She must, you know, she's just so tiny anyway, you hardly know she's there.
Yeah.
I had to sleep on the sofa last night, because Mildred was taking up my spot in the bed.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But can I ask you, what made you guys start this podcast? Like, how did this happen?
Well, it depends why you asked the question, really.
As in, like, am I asking it because it's so...
What on earth made you think? Yeah. Sean is the best person to answer that, because it was his idea.
I think that, you know, there are a lot of podcasts where... you know, people come on and they talk about themselves and they talk about what the thing that they've got coming up that they're going to sell or whatnot. And that's all very interesting. But actually, as a dog owner, and I was new to being a dog owner, although, you know, I had a family dog, actually what I wanted to do is I wanted to hear about people's experiences with dogs and growing up with a dog and how to train the dog and just how we all own a dog differently and what it is that we love about dogs. And what's really interesting is that you kind of find that when you talk to people about kind of exclusively about their dogs and not themselves, actually you really find out a lot also about the person and about them through the way that they bond with their dogs. So I think there's a really wonderful world out there where you find a lot out about a person via their relationship with their dog.
Good conduit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also people go on talking about themselves. It's so boring.
It's just surprising that you've got this sort of avatar that you kind of live through to some extent.
Yes.
And it's a bit like mask acting, isn't it? When you wear a mask and you feel less inhibited. When you disclose things about yourself because it's about your dog, it's a way that we can all relate.
Yes.
I feel bad now because I haven't got anything to sell.
No one ever wants to mention anything they're doing, you know, work-wise. It's just everyone's so happy to just have a breather from that and talk about their dogs, which is a lovely thing.
Yes, a breather from themselves.
Yeah. There's a final question that we always ask everyone at the end is do you let your dogs kiss you on the lips?
I'm going to say yes.
You reckon it's a yes? I think it's a cautious, sometimes it happens and I can't help it.
Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. And I think that is purely because, and I'm sure you've discussed this before, but it's that awful moment when you're going for the kiss. And then you know what I'm going to say, and you're a bit excited, they're a bit excited, and then suddenly you're French kissing because their tongue has gone into your mouth. And it just feels, you think, God, I've just been French kissed
by
my dog, you know, and that it leads to quite an existential crisis.
Yeah, it's
especially if you're handcuffed to the bed. You know?
Especially when you're sort of Instagram liking it, you know, that's just wrong. That's wrong. Yeah, it's a cautious kiss. I'm not, and the tongue never comes out from me. I'm not one of those like
no, God no,
like something about Mary
licking him back.
No, God no.
No, thank you so much, Will. It's been fantastic having you on. Wonderful to get to know Iris.
Very nice to hear about
Domino.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Will. Cheers. Wasn't that great to hear from Will Young?
Yes, that was great.
I think he's rather modest about his involvement with animals because it really, of all our guests, he's actually a proper animal activist as well, isn't he?
Amazing work that he's doing. And clearly, just really clearly cares. And that story about saving the dog before...
And I'm glad that someone has spoken up for the American Pit Bull because, of course, they do have a terrible reputation. Everyone's terrified of them. And I have to admit, I'm pretty wary of those big American-looking dogs.
Yes, I will say it's normally the owner where I make the judgment.
It can be. It can be, I suppose, yeah. But apparently, you know, a very delightful dog, and certainly he looks it.
I was just slightly confused as to what... the situation was with the he had three dogs.
Yeah, he did have
three dogs, but it just so happened that today it was just Domino that was there.
Yeah, Esme was out for a walk.
Yes, and Iris was with
at
his family.
Mum's house. Yeah,
yes, but he normally had the three. It did sound like Domino was his favourite. Maybe that's not fair for me to say. But it did sound like Domino was
I think he did say that he's the only one who walks Domino. So,
yes. Yeah.
So that's because, and understandably, you know, you do get worried because even, you know, sometimes dog walkers, they can get it wrong. And, you know, if they've got more than one dog to look after and you've got one particular dog with a special need of some sort.
But it was wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful to have him.
It was. It was great. Okay, well, that's it from us, isn't it, Sean?
Yes, that's all. Thank you for listening to Own My Dog. It's been great hearing the voice notes as well. Keep sending them in. We love those.
Because, of course, as listeners, you're very much part of the podcast. So don't forget to get in touch by emailing us at hello@omdpod.com and find us on Instagram, which is @omdpod. Give us a shout there too, because we'd love your songs and hear you talking to your dog and so on and so forth.
And remember, a dog is for life, not just for podcasts.